What is going on, one and all? Welcome to On Screen Live. My name is Andrew Jupin, and this is our broadcast for Monday, the 27th of February. If you can even believe it, this month is almost over. And to celebrate the ending of another miserable month, let's bring in some of my best buds. We have Eric Siska.
Oh, I'm almost over, too. I think I got my expiration date on the back.
That's right,
I'll be
dude.
Dead soon.
That milk's about to go sour.
That's right.
And here you go. He's got, I think it's my favorite sweater of his, Steven Sadek.
Yeah, it's a great one. March, like March, bring on the March. March, March, March,
March.
Bring on
listen the March. To request month. Yeah,
that's right. I'm. yeah, I think I've only seen like maybe half of the movies we're doing this month. So it's kind of exciting to not know what I'm even going to talk about this month. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, totally. I saw some people kvetching about that. You know what? That's part of the fun.
Yeah. Watch a movie.
Speaking of part of the fun, around these parts lately, we've been calling him the librarian. Please welcome everybody's favorite bookworm, Chris Cabin.
Dove. Pardon me. You're here. I didn't see you there. I didn't hear you there at all.
You're rocking through a novel a day now, I think, right?
Oh, yeah. He's really just impressive. Doing it. Just reading it. I'm actually reading them all. That's the thing.
Now, and Steve, are you getting FOMO from seeing him reading this much?
No, he's not drinking at the same time.
Yes, that's the problem. I don't have the reader's helper, as they call it.
it's like your little bookmark there, Chris. So we are back at full strength. Steve's back from vacation. We're happy to see his face.
That's
back
right.
Back on Jersey soil, as they say.
Just did a quick 4 days in Nashville. It was a lot of fun. Nice. I missed the Nexus only. I did not masturbate in any holodecks. I want to be really clear about that.
The Nexus says you did.
Yeah, I know.
Paper of record, pod of record.
Why would you argue with such a thing? I just don't understand that.
Well, the logs on the holodeck say otherwise, mister.
I want those logs, mister.
Oh, you got those logs.
Patreon.com/wehatemovies for the Nexus.
Here's the thing. If the holodeck did exist, each one of us would have masturbated at least once.
Oh, absolutely.
Just to give it a shot. Yeah, exactly.
I would live in it.
Yep.
A full 24 hours by Commandant Steven Sadek inside our holodeck. The mop bots won't even go in there. They just said no. They revolted. They're going to go on strike.
You know, I'm really getting fucking sick and tired. The whole second season cast of Friends, not the third season, not the first, of course. He's very particular.
He's a man who knows what he likes.
Also, the cast of Boston Public. It's just disgusting. Honestly disgusting.
How do you find the time to go through them all?
Is it just the Jerry Ryan connection? Is that it?
Ah, 7 of 9. Okay, so speaking of running through stuff, by the way, we got some numbers to get to. This is Highest Gross. All right. I'm going to tell you.
Big BO week here.
Big BO week. A lot of developments, a lot of surprises and whatnot. And some of our usual cast of characters are getting towards the bottom here, coming in at number 5.
Puss in Boots.
Now we're talking, this is the big week 10.
Unstoppable.
This was big week 10.
It is.
Unstoppable. I think Puss in Boots are going to play this for Prince Charles' coronation.
Oh, sure.
Because it's unstoppable.
Oh, was there, Chris, did you see it? Oh, that's right. We talk about that every week. No.
You didn't like it.
A year now, I guess.
People are raving about it.
It's pretty shocking.
Yeah. Can I tell you, I'm sorry.
This is nominated for the Oscar for this year, right? Did I miss
it?
I think it is.
For animated?
Yes.
Possibly.
Well, yeah, it's animation noms are like every big animated movie that came out that year. That's just the list, right? Whatever Pixar or DreamWorks did, that's the nominee.
I mean, now
I'm done.
It would be very, if they didn't nominate this, that would be a silly thing. I'd be like, at this point, it's a juggernaut. It's like a humongous juggernaut.
Yeah, no, it's nominated. It's Del Toro's Pinocchio, Marcel the Shell, the Shoes on, Puss in Boots. The Sea Beast, which Netflix is doing everything in their fucking power to have you not see, and Turning Red.
Now, is Marcel's a cartoon? Is that right?
It's a stop motion thing, so it kind of counts.
But there's regular people in it too.
Yes,
it's predominantly live action,
so it's marginal, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's Roger Rabbit, essentially, except for, you know, not so much.
Coming in at number four, still chugging away, Avatar The Way of Water.
Speaking of sea beasts, there he is.
Yeah, there's the only sea beast for me this year, man. Or I guess last year. Yeah, ripe with sea beasts, actually. You're right.
I'm still so happy it's still there.
Oh, yeah. Well, week 11, dude, another nearly $5 million to toss onto the pile.
Hell yeah, Jim. Keep going.
You know, by the way, the whole like internet loving Jim Cameron, doing the whole like Jim Cameron unstoppable. Y'all rooting for his new CBS True Lies TV show? It's sort of silent on that front.
Oh, right? CBS is who's doing that?
Well, of course, the Yawn Network itself is doing it.
Is he directing any of that?
I don't know. I think the credit is just it's based on his movie. Yeah, he probably has nothing to do with it. But I like to tease the James Cameron fans.
Well, I'm hoping that True Lies is a success so that we can get the True Lies spinoff series, True Lies 1923. Which is flappers, spies, bootlegging, I guess.
And then I guess like an Englishman dividing up the Middle East in like an arbitrary sense. Yeah.
I'm hoping we get at least five episodes, a spinoff, maybe like a limited series type thing.
Ooh, sure.
Just about Bill Paxton's, whoever is taking the mantle of the Bill Paxton character. Just how he got to a point of pissing himself on a dam.
Yeah.
That is just, I mean, really, we need to know the backstory is what I'm saying.
You're probably wondering how I got here. And he's just pissing his pants.
I'm pathetic. Come on.
So this was a big surprise here. Coming in at number three, and he's actually jockeying for two, the second place slot. But
80 for Brady, 80 for Brady, 80 for Brady, 80 for Brady.
The Jesus Revolution, which was a Lionsgate movie. It's the same company that did that Kurt Warner movie.
Is this that video game where every time Jesus does this, you have to do this with him, kind of a thing?
Yeah. Right. Crucify.
Jesus Revolution.
Crucify.
Yeah. Press X crucify. For crucify. Yeah.
Heal. Heal.
There is probably a Jesus version of Dance Dance Revolution somewhere where you dance with Jesus and he's doing the shake to Mambo Number 5 with a rave beat behind it.
Followers
of Jesus used to not go see a Lionsgate movie. They'd go into the lion's mouth, right?
That's true.
That's usually, and I think I kind of liked it better that way. But this movie, I did read it. Kind of liked it. But this movie, I was reading a piece about it. It's based on a guy. I'm not kidding you. The guy's name is Lonnie Frisbee.
Oh, sure.
And he was this like a hippie preacher type guy back in the 60s and he met with some straight laced preacher. And like the whole thing was that
he was a cult leader.
Not so secretly gay. And apparently, this movie does not make any mention of that whatsoever. They beautiful-minded him. He was beautiful-minded. And the other guy, of course, is Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, well, yeah.
Niles becoming a disciple of Jesus is the worst idea you ever had.
Is he actually Christian, or is he just conservative and knows where the money is?
He knows exactly where the money is.
He's a right-wing psycho, though, right?
Yeah, he's crazy. Yeah. I mean, that's why I don't think he's very religious. Is he's just like, no. It's just the money and the power. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Called it boss.
Yeah, there's probably a little more to it, but I've never heard him. Although, I don't know. I mean, this is not his first Christian production.
But it's like, it's just once you get in there kind of a thing. I mean?
Let's invite him on the show if he sees this. Sure. Come on. We'll debate theology.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I want to see how Christian he is. Is what I want to know. Was he confirmed?
Oh. Yes, and I used my money to buy a turntable and other stereo equipment.
Yeah, is he Catholic or miscellaneous? There's a whole lot of shit going around with this.
Grandmother, would you please give me my money? He's just at a gravesite. Mother, where's my money?
Speaking of a very religious movie, coming in at number two, Cocaine Bear. There it is.
I was out of town. I know we're going to talk about it. I really wanted to see this guy.
Really? Well, you didn't miss much.
We'll get to it. All right. But let's just say it blew away expectations with $23 million.
Of course it did. It's something interesting to see that's not Weepy Jesus, Avatar in the 50th week, or MCU. Of course it did well.
Or what could be the worst MCU movie ever made. Yeah, that's kind of what we're
still why I have not seen it, because I listen to my friends. I listen to word of mouth, just like the good people who didn't go to the movies this weekend.
Yeah. And then, yeah, speaking of the worst MCU movie possibly, Quantumania, holding at number one. Now, here's the deal about Quantumania. I want you to look at this number here. $32 million. It was like 114 something last week. This represents a 70% drop off in box office. This is the worst showing week two for an MCU movie in the history of this tiring endeavor.
Because that's the thing, is we're on fumes here. There was that thing posting around. I don't know if anybody, it was like the end of Captain America, the first Avenger. And, you know, it's him realizing, oh my God, I'm in Times Square, that whole bit. Yes. And like, yeah, like watching that scene, it just a quainter time. Like, he's in a room. You know what I mean? He's in a room. The light is hitting the room. And then he's like, whoa, the camera actually moves. There's somebody moving a camera around. And then he runs around and like he's actually in Times Square. He's not just sitting in a breakfast nook in front of a green screen.
Right.
Giving you exposition about shit you couldn't possibly understand.
Yeah.
Dude, and that breakfast nook. For like 15 minutes we're just sitting around the table. Did someone make waffles? Like, god damn that movie, man. I'll tell you this, another thing about it. So we were at the theater to see Cocaine Bear yesterday, and it was an iPick, so they're kind of like Alamo, you know, someone comes to the table, food and whatnot. And the guy like comes to the table to take the order, and he's like, what theater is this? Oh, it's Cocaine Bear, right? And we were like, yeah, Cocaine Bear. Did you see it? Yeah, yeah, I'm trying to get to it, blah, blah, blah. He goes, prompted out of nowhere. He's just like, did you see Quantumania? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, yeah. It's like, dude, if the guy who sees shit for free at the fucking multiplex is like, dude, this superhero movie sucked, you know you got problems. Oh, boy.
I'm ready for it to be done. I know we got quite a long time. We got the new Avengers to come out and all these things, but I'm already just pleased.
It looks like, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, because this wave 14 of DCU, whatever that's going to be.
But sure.
I don't know how many of this stuff's going to come out, because if we're on this trajectory and we cannot figure out a creative way to get audiences engaged, aside from promising them stuff in movies 3 to 4 years from now, you're losing your audience. You really are.
Right. Yeah. Well, they could just do what they did with Star Wars, the same fucking company, scale back motion picture production and do more television.
Yeah. That might be where they're going.
The TV output on Disney Plus that they've had for this MCU stuff is almost inarguably better than the movies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Hawkeye might be my favorite. Phase 4, whatever the fuck you want to call it.
I hope they do another one of those if he recovers from his snowplow injury.
Yeah.
Poor bastard.
Oh, right. That's insane.
I think he's like doing okay.
Every bone in his body replaced with adamantium, I heard.
That's what I
heard.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, now he's going to be a Wolverine. Gag.
Oh, man. Speaking of gagging, we've got some trailers to take a look at here in the segment we have intelligently titled Trailer Segment.
Where YouTube moderators are firing up the cancel button for us.
So to circumvent that, we're doing something a little different today, right?
That is right. We are just going to watch them remotely here on our own devices. We are not going to broadcast the trailer on the screen so we don't get the fucking plug pulled on us here. But first up, just heard of this one last week, and the title's already got me laughing. The Pope's Exorcist. Starring Russell Crowe as the Pope's Exorcist.
I haven't seen this trailer yet. I'm curious.
Oh, really?
Is he smashing the Pope's head in, like trying to get the demons out of him? Is that what's going on here?
The Pope is putting a crucifix up his own ass.
He's, Pope's been broken over Russell Crowe's knee, of course, just right in half, just snapping him, and then the ghosts come out, Eric.
That sounds nice.
And then the ghosts come out.
Then the ghosts come out.
So I'm opening my link here and I'm getting past. Of course, there's an advertisement. Oh, some sort of Nathan Lane play.
Ooh,
yeah, that's what you want in front of the Pope's Exorcist.
Of course. Are we watching the trailer? Let me know. Yeah.
Well, I'm not. I had to queue it up. I'm sorry. So let's do. We'll do just like the commentary. 3, 2, 1, go.
Sure.
Yeah. 3, 2, 1, go.
All right.
Oh, what?
Oh, here's a trailer for the trailer.
Yep, the trailer for the trailer. I hate this shit. Just start it.
There's going to be an ugly kid in the movie.
Oh, definitely. The Exorcist.
Look at that hat. Stuff. Yep.
It's awesome.
We are not giving up the Exorcist thing. I mean, I guess these movies make money.
Well, there's the new one coming out, right? David Gordon Green.
Oh, yeah.
Again, there's Pray for the Devil last year, which only I saw, which was
Steve's favorite
horrific.
Movie.
Yeah.
I kind of wish this was a comedy. Like, the fucking title is silly as hell. Like, this is too serious.
Boy, you know, the other thing, too, with these devil movies, right, is, like, the inspired by actual events. How much exorcism records are on file?
I think it's just because Jesus happened, supposedly. They're like, yeah, that's real. So it's inspired by events.
It is the father from The Exorcist, the thing that he made that boring doc about.
I kind of feel like all of the exorcism shit, the Catholic Church is kind of like Santa Claus, like how your parents would talk about it. That's how the Catholic Church is like, I don't know, you might get possessed by the devil. Look out.
Absolutely. Oh, dude, this kid just puking up that bird a few seconds ago. That's pretty disgusting.
Mm.
Ooh.
Wow, getting thrown around.
Mm-hmm. See, it's always like the wiener exorcist that can't stand up to the task, and then you got to get in the big guns.
Well, it's cool if this ends up being like Russell Crowe just like beating a small child and shit, I'd be all about it.
Well, this is it's one of those things that you never realize that the BMI is very important when you're actually fighting a demon. You know, absolutely. You want a big BMI.
You got to get the biggest, because that represents what, gluttony, and that's a sin. And then
sure,
it's got to be able to eat a demon.
Of course, you are putting Academy Award winner Russell Crowe in this trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. I mean, how many times have we... Yeah, okay, I saw that part because you did the trailer for the trailer. Whose fucking idea was that, by the way? It's terrible.
That absolutely is a terrible idea.
I mean, you like The Conjuring, right? How can you miss it? It's just like it.
But I'm kind of bored of all these like possession and demons.
Of course. Oh, the Virgin Mary. How's it going? We're starting to, dude, that's a big get, honestly.
That is a huge get. No. But he had oil coming out of his mouth.
This reminds me of Evil Dead Rise a little bit now. And it's like, what happened to like horror that was like a good old home invasion? Something that can happen to you tonight.
Uh-huh. Right. This very night. Will.
At least one person watching this feed tonight, home invasion. Get ready.
You're going to do it to them, or they? You want them to do it to somebody else?
Someone.
Let's do our own trailer. I'll never tell.
Oh, dude, that's got to be a fucking stay tuned. That movie, Don't Say a Word, with Brittany Murphy and Michael Douglas, I believe.
I didn't even know there's something, but yes, I agree.
There's a Fanning in there. I think it's Dakota Fanning.
Sounds sure. Right. Yeah. That was like 2001. That was way back. What Michael Douglas still trying to hold on to I can star in movies thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Not a great time.
The Pope's Exorcist comes out from Sony Pictures Entertainment on April 14th, and I'll be at the fucking theater.
Really?
I will say the one thing. We got Michael Douglas. We talked a lot of shit about Quantumania.
Yeah.
I got an LOL out of Michael Douglas going, holy shit, that guy looks like broccoli. That made me laugh. You know what I mean? I'm not made of stone here. Yeah, I just want to put that out there.
I do love Michael Douglas.
Yeah, I love Michael.
Speaking of Michael Douglas, thing that you guys might want to do, and folks at home should get in on this too. It's a lot of fun. Following Catherine Zeta-Jones on Instagram.
Her a lot of feet pics. What are we talking?
What's going on here?
Funny as I was talking before when I went in there, but like her posts are kind of like whatever. Like she does stuff like she'll post a picture of her from a movie and it'll be like, step into the weekend like you are in Zorro. And I'm like, I can't do that, but you can, I guess. But the little nug is every once in a while she posts like videos from the family doing stuff and you get Michael Douglas like hanging out. And there was one, they were at some, I think it was like a Golden Globes party, and she's like, I'm having fun with my family. And then there's Michael Douglas doing like embarrassing dad dancing.
Nice.
Yeah, it's kind of what you want.
Wow. And she's a carcinogen, right?
Yeah, well, her genitals apparently give you cancer.
Yeah, well, they're smoking, I understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Something close to that, apparently, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of smoking, by the way, our good friend Arnold Schwarzenegger is back, stogie and all, with FUBAR.
I want the stogie to be sentient and talking to him.
Dude, the Stogie should be like the partner, right?
Yeah.
But this is a Netflix thing here, so I have the trailer queued up, fellas. It's a quick teaser. Yep. Are you ready to go?
Yes. I am.
All right, we'll do 3, 2, 1, go.
Stogie.
Stogie right there.
On.
Yes.
May. 25.
Come on.
May, just 25.
What is it? Who's FUBAR?
It's an expression.
No, I got hit in the nuts. Oh,
that's it. So it's that's him it, driving dude. A car, shooting a gun, and getting hit in the nuts.
That's enough.
Tune into FUBAR.
Yep. Tune into FUBAR, dude. Absolutely. That's all you're fucking getting from Netflix.
It's me, Detective John FUBAR.
Oh, you think it's the name?
It could be. We don't know. It, well, could, FUBAR, it could be John FUBAR.
My father used to say FUBAR because it fucked up beyond all recognition or whatever.
Got it.
My uncle said it a lot.
Is I mean, like, Nam era talking.
We don't know. Is this a reality show where people are making cakes for Arnold Schwarzenegger? Like, oh, this is FUBAR. This cake is FUBAR.
Oh, no. You tried to make a cake, but this is clearly FUBAR.
But this one is nicked FUBAR.
I'm going to taste it now. Audience, what is it?
FUBAR! Oh, and at the definitely end, the last person to get eliminated, he goes, oh, your cake is FUBAR.
Oh, dude, puts
the Stogie out it. Yes, exactly.
Now you can't even enjoy it if you wanted to eat it alone in your hotel room after losing on FUBAR.
Please collect your shoes and leave the kitchen because everyone has to, you know, sure, the shoes on, obviously, at FUBAR. Yeah.
If you take the trailer for what it's worth, it looks like it's going to involve comedians tapping him in the nuts.
Yeah, okay.
Sure. That's going to be, I mean, like, that's not exactly Tulsa King-esque status. I gotta tell you,
sure.
He's like, Sylvester Stallone is running the fucking roost in Tulsa King, and he Stallone should have done something like I don't know, like a Lord of Chattahoochee or like some kind of Lord of Kissimmee, like some weird fucking place that you run. That's what you want from fucking Schwarzenegger.
Sure,
we got into this a little bit on chat, and I'm curious. Is it better to be a big show on Peacock? Is it on Peacock yet?
It's on Paramount Plus, King,
which is something that Tulsa very King. Few people have, or another thing in the Netflix empire, which everybody has. So you know what I mean? Like, I'm curious. Like,
it's hard to tell because they all inflate their numbers, and so it's all meaningless.
Yeah. You'll never know. You'll never know.
But I think, like, to what you're asking, Steve, I think it's kind of 50-50 because, like, sure, not as many people have Paramount Plus, but I think they do a better job
at
telling you what they have because they have fewer things to
they
promote.
Market. Yes.
Also, Tulsa King is connected vaguely to the Yellowstone juggernaut. So
is it really?
Because it's Taylor Sheridan.
Taylor Sheridan, yeah.
But not story-wise, right?
No, not so. But not you never yet. Know. Yeah, you never know.
Hey, Harrison Ford, I've come through a time tunnel to fight you. What am I doing in 1923? Look, it's me, the Tulsa King.
Hey, how about this? Oh, hey, Helen Mirren. Why don't we go out on a date?
It's the leads of everybody's two favorite movies, Rocky and The Empire Strikes Back. Finally going at it. Here we go.
I will say a thing. If you look up FUBAR on IMDb, not a lot of details yet because things haven't aired. But two things of note that I found kind of
John
cool.
FUBAR, one, John FUBAR, John FUBAR.
No, that's it remains to be seen if he's John FUBAR. But Adam Pally, credited with 8 episodes as playing the Great Dane, which I'm excited about, whatever that means. And also credited for 1 episode. You got it. Tom Arnold.
Wow. Okay.
Yep. And in the only thing I'll say, detail I know about FUBAR additionally is Arnold's newsletter, which I subscribe to, came out today.
And dear Andrew, I'm writing you a letter.
One word at a time.
First, I'd just like to get to know you. Please write back and tell me what your daddy does.
No, I cannot bring my mini horses to your apartment. They would ruin the furniture. They would ruin the floorboards as well.
No, but he said in it, he was like, for a number of years, my fans have been asking when I'm going to do another action comedy like True Lies.
Oh,
I was asking him that.
Oh, yeah. Really? Are you on the newsletter too, Eric?
Yeah, I actually am on his newsletter as well, Chris. So he was like, hello, Eric. What do you think? Another action comedy?
How's Lulu, and when are we getting another action comedy? Those are the two things I always ask.
Lulu is great, and I will get to it when I get to it.
But again, I cannot let her travel. I cannot let her travel to you. Understand this, please.
Good news. I have a new horse, and his name is John Fubar.
It's the inspiration.
Right, someone in the chat has a good one. 35 years from now, you reprogrammed me to be Fubar here in this time.
That makes a ton of sense.
35 years ago. I guess I should have done that.
Anyway. So, I don't know. That's Fubar. I guess we'll see. You know, May 25th on Netflix, if you can find it.
Cakes.
Guaranteed. If you don't cakes. Watch it. What?
Cakes.
What are you saying?
I'm hoping for cakes.
It's nicht Fubar. Das ist nicht Fubar.
I thought you were saying kings, like K-I-N-G-S. And I was like, the fuck are you talking about?
He should be a king also. If he's going to be up against the Tulsa King, he should also be a king.
That's you know true. Who's a king of the forest? The cocaine bear.
Oh, there he is.
Very true.
So, yes, like we said, surpassing box office expectations this weekend. I was very surprised to learn this when they announced it or whatever, directed by Elizabeth Banks.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think her last narrative that she directed was that Jane's...
Call Me Jane?
Call Me Jane.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was the doc called The Janes and then Call Me Jane, which was not very good.
No.
But this is Cocaine Bear, loosely based on a true story. Three of us saw it here this weekend. Chris Cabin, I think you probably liked it the least.
Yeah, I really did not like this at all. I didn't really find, as I said, I found it about as funny as the police station scene in Manchester by the Sea. It's, I think, about that level of just big yucks going on. I found it very TV. I found everything about
honestly,
it. Very television-y. I agree with you
in a way, Chris, because it's very like cobbled together. First of all, too many characters.
Yeah.
I don't understand, especially when you're putting out like a violent R, like we kind of want to play with what exploitation used to be. Yes. But no, let's make the movie about little kids instead. And it just, you're eating up your runtime, having little kids being in danger, and no one gives a shit. You're not going to actually kill them. And is this for the little kids going to the R-rated cocaine movie?
Yes, of
course. I had like a 12-year-old in our theater.
Yeah, of course.
That's a good pair right there.
But no, it was like
it could be streamlined if it was like the Dixie Mafia versus the cop going out there. Like, okay,
yeah.
And you could still have side characters. You could still have the park ranger get ripped in the ass.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, I totally get what you're saying. It definitely felt like there were a lot of deleted scenes. Like, there's one moment, no spoilers, but there's one moment where a character says to another character, like, remember when we found that body back there? And, like, it literally just, like, jumps back what could only be a few minutes, like, in the time of the movie.
Yeah.
And someone finds a corpse, and I was like, well, that's clearly a deleted scene. Like, that, and why they would bother to do that, I did not understand.
I do have some time this weekend. I might check it out. I'm curious. Is this just the internet, the movie? Is that what we're doing? Like we're being cute for the internet?
A little bit. It's definitely, I feel like it knows its meme ability.
It's part of the, what I think is wrong with it. Cause I mean, the other thing is that I just don't think the horror is very well done.
Yeah.
I thought all the horror was kind of just like shrug. It's all, a lot of it's CG. I mean, like I know everything is CGI, but like, It really hit me on this one. And because
you wanted them to give that bear cocaine. Is that what you're saying?
I did. I wanted a real bear and real cocaine. Let's do it. A documentary on that process alone. I mean, honestly, that might have been better. Not particularly good for anybody, but better as an entertainment vehicle for sure.
Well, if they like cared about like even simple geography of where the bear is instead of the bear being everywhere. And like you could have moved into a horror element with it. You could have they do lean into the comedy more, but
that's my gripe with it though, is that it doesn't lean into the comedy enough. So when you're having the horror moments, they're not particularly funny. And in a horror comedy, you want the horror moments to be funny.
Yes.
So what I found was happening was kind of like a gas break situation where it'd be like, comedy, comedy, comedy. And I was laughing at a lot of this. I will admit it. I was laughing. But then it would be like break horror movie part.
Yeah.
And I was and sometimes it crossed and it was horror and comedy at the same time, but not enough. I actually didn't mind the kids. I thought the kids were funny. I mean, they're like fucking eating Coke. Like that, a little kid eating Coke and being coked out is hilarious. I think there's definitely like cut scenes of the kids probably being like more messed up.
I guess my problem is kind of just pacing, because it just feels like we're cutting between all these characters that have nothing to do with each other, and eventually they come together. Sure, but it just feels overstuffed for a 90-minute movie. But I will say, Alden Ehrenreich, loved him. Thank you for releasing him from prison, Cocaine Bear.
That's nice. I will totally say I like that. And I mean, to your point about like horror comedy is one of the toughest genres. Like,
it's hard.
You cannot do this lightly. Like something like what was that? Alan Tudyk, him and a guy, but they play like hillbillies, and everybody thinks
Tucker and Dale versus Evil, a movie I've never seen, but I know the title of.
The mixture on that is just right.
It's perfect. That is a fucking very pitch perfect horror comedy.
Because they don't linger. Like the thing problem with Cocaine Bear is that with the big deaths, they really linger on the death. And like, I don't know what the point of that is. Like the suffering, they really like to like make the person scream or something. I'm like, that is like number one. Don't make the death like agonizing in a humor setting.
Well, like, exactly.
Unless you're like, going anti-comedy, but that's not what you're doing.
No. And again, I'm not going to spoil anything, but there's one death where there's a fella hanging from a tree and the bear's getting him. And like, that needs to be funny. And that whole time I was like, oh, that poor man.
Yeah. It's just a tone problem. It's the tone just doesn't know where it is. It just keeps on jumping around.
Another positive thing. I think Kerry Russell's really great in it. I think Margot Martindale's really great in it. I think fucking rest in peace, Ray Liotta. I think this is his final movie. And he's like the lead, like drug kingpin. He's wearing cool sunglasses.
Well, I didn't know if this could have been something that, like, the ending leaked, and I saw it on my phone.
Uh-huh.
It's the Cocaine Bear. He's at the police station. He's got handcuffs on.
Yep.
They're marching Debbie Mazar past the Cocaine Bear.
Yes.
And this Italian police officer is like, "What are you making a cake, Cocaine Bear? What are we making a cake with all this stuff?" And then he puts his pinky and he takes it. He goes, "Bye bye, dickhead," he says to the Cocaine Bear.
Right.
That's what he says to the Cocaine Bear. He says that.
It's a riveting. It's probably the best scene in the movie. Other than, I will say the one thing I liked, it starts very promising. Matthew Reese is in one scene, and it's right at the top, and it is the only scene I like. Everything else is bad.
We get Perry Mason season two, or what are we doing here?
Yeah, there's a teaser ad for that. Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. All right.
Yeah, no, that's definitely happening. Right. Apparently, the thing with Matthew Reese, my wife was telling me this. Kerry Russell gave some interview where she was like, he read the script because she was like, "Oh, I'm doing this movie or whatever. You want to take a look?" And when he started, he was like, "Call Elizabeth Banks. Like, I want to play this dude at the beginning that fucking throws the coke out of the plane."
Yes, please. It's so good. Also, Jefferson Starship's Jane, underrated jam. Very good.
He's really fucking rocking out, tooted out of his mind in that scene. It's kind of awesome. So yeah, I don't know, Steve. If you don't have much to do this weekend, but it's gonna be a solid like PVOD rental.
That's what I think. I'm gonna wait the 2.5 weeks and then just do it that way.
It's really not an emergency to go see Cocaine Bear in theaters.
Although
I want to, even though I was panning it, I'm glad it did well.
Well, that's the other thing.
Movies like this, we do. Even though I don't like them when they come out, we need them.
No, you're absolutely not wrong, dude. And someone was actually pointing this out. Universal has taken some chances on some things over the last year or so that other people aren't doing, like this, Megan, Bros, things that, you might not like them, but like, it's fantastic that they're in theaters and,
also
varying degrees of ticket sales, but they're at least in theaters.
New intellectual property, right? Like this is, I guess, loosely based on true events, like everything is. Like Jesus Revolution is like FUBAR probably.
Yes.
Is.
I will say I liked Bros.
A guy just wrote a script and it became a movie. And that's great. Yeah. It's not about a comic book. It's not about a book. Yeah. It's not about a TV show from the fucking 50s.
Oh, you know what? Someone is asking this and it's not a spoiler with the movie, but I want to get people braced for this. He does not, Isaiah Whitlock, say she. And I think they're trolling you because he says shit three times.
Yeah.
I thought he was very funny. I thought he was one of the highlights of it.
He definitely is. It is, as someone else pointed out too, and my wife and I were saying it, it is a big Americans reunion, which is kind of nice with Mark yeah. Martindale and everything. So
the Cocaine Bear was in the Americans?
Oh, yeah, dude. Well, it's a fucking Russian circus bear. Come on.
Well, he's replacing Gabriel. Just, you gotta talk to him.
So really quickly, another two things. I know we're getting a little long here. I watched this fucking... basically direct-to-streaming Nicolas Cage.
I'm jealous. I didn't get to see
Western.
His ear. Can I see that picture one more time?
Oh, yeah, sure. Hang on a sec. There we go.
His ears look glued to his head. I'm sorry. Yes. That looks like... Mm-hmm. That's not how ears function.
You're
on
totally
a head.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's also kind of like not how a hat functions on a head, to be
no,
honest.
No, not at all.
So do you think it's bad Photoshop there, or do you think like he's like falling apart as like a Hollywood
maybe the
monster,
second one.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think probably the second one. But yeah, this movie directed by a guy named Brett Don't Know Who, which I think is kind of funny. It's, maybe that's the new Alan Smythe, to be honest.
Yeah, I would like
the
that.
The only reason I wanted to mention it is because there is a scene, I watched it on Friday night, where, because Clint Howard plays a supporting role in this movie, his debut, his reveal in this movie is Clint Howard opening a door and immediately getting kicked in the nuts.
Nice. That's wonderful.
Just he opens the door like, hi, movie. Boom. Kicked right in the fucking balls. In the doorway. He doesn't even get into the door.
Ooh, das ist nicht fubar.
Oh, that was nicht fubar indeed, dude. So we have a big week on the show here. Well, We Hate Movies in general here. On Tuesday, it is the last episode of February. Before Listener Request Month kicks in, Steve, what do we have locked and loaded?
We just did an episode on Three Ninjas, which actually has a VHS trailer game, ooh, ladies and gentlemen. Ooh.
That is right.
It also has one. Rocky Loves Emily.
Rocky loves Emily.
Rocky loves Emily. These kids are going to make it, dude.
You will hear on the episode why I gave those dudes the finger. And then Thursday, probably like around evening time, dinner-ish time, we are pumped for this. One of our most popular Patreon sideshows is coming back. Eric Sisko, what is that?
That is the Mandalorian Half Hour. It's back.
Oh, yeah.
All new episodes. Boy.
That's right.
And we'll see. Maybe. I'm hoping. Fingers crossed. There's 3 or 4 episodes of the Book of Boba Fett shoved into this one.
Just right in the middle of it, dude. Right in the middle of it.
Yeah, fucking jam it in.
Because remember, folks, you do need to watch at least 2.5 episodes of the Boba Fett show to know what the fuck happened in this show.
Oh, yeah. That's actually
great
true.
Storytelling. Excellent storytelling.
I didn't check, but I heard something like Jon Favreau's made, like there's a YouTube compilation or something. They're like, look at this for catch up or whatever.
Dude,
Jesus,
you
fucking
know,
Christ. Although this is another thing about the streaming numbers being all bullshit, right? Because they said Book of Boba Fett got more ratings or something, like through the roof, but I don't see no renewal yet, and I don't see people fucking remembering that Grogu is back, because all finality, all any kind of consequence needs to be completely undone so that we could keep doing The Simpsons for 30 years.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. I'm excited.
Yep.
That's a dream.
Grogu's just going to be wearing the same blue shorts for fucking 15 years. And then Friday, we're going to close out the week with a We Love Movies episode. Now, this is the first official listener-requested episode. And we're getting into The Man Who Would Be King.
I'm excited.
Sean
check
Connery,
this out.
Michael Caine.
That poster looks dope as hell. Look at these. Those are some cocaine bears right there.
Yeah, dude, seriously. Look at Michael Caine's eyes.
It's probably the first John Huston movie we've ever done, I have to imagine.
It is.
I think that's true. Yeah, me and Cocaine Bear went out on the town. Did a bunch of toot.
Drink your tea on Wednesday, fellas, because it's going to be Impressionville. It's just between two, it's just going to be registering back.
I'm never going out with that cocaine bear ever again. They should call him the cocaine pig because he did all the goddamn cocaine.
You're bloody mad, cocaine bear.
Now listen, Michael, we got to do this. We have to do it. We have to take over Afghanistan is what we have to do. You understand?
That sounds great.
Is that what they're doing in this movie? It's imperial shit?
Oh, yes. Great. Yeah.
I can't wait.
Just so everyone knows that, like, even we're going to talk about a movie that has imperialism in it, or the consequences of it and the consequences of colonialism, we as a show do not support that. We are just watching a piece of art that is examining that period of time. Lay that fucking corpse on John Huston's door.
Or lay that corpse on John Huston's corpse.
Yes, you also could do that, Eric.
Yeah, I meant the gates of hell.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up here for On Screen Live. By the way, no show next week, no On Screen Live, but we'll be back the following Monday, and it's going to be our Oscar night after party.
Ooh, I'm going to be wearing sunglasses because I'm going to be so hungover. Absolutely. All the after parties that I will be going to.
Of course, yeah.
Dude, obviously. I'm going to be coming right from the Chateau Marmont back here to do the show. I mean, I'm going to be so fucking hammered.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. We actually should just be drunk for noon on a Monday.
Easy to do.
Yeah, totally. So this week, Three Ninjas, wherever you get your podcasts, and on patreon.com/WeHateMovies, the return of the Mandalorian half hour, and We Love Movies on The Man Who Would Be King. So we'll see you in a couple weeks, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great week. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
Chris Gavin.
Adios, folks. Have a good week. Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.